Welcome hearts that are open and ready to connect, full of joy this morning. Come hearts that are closed by trials and sorrows, locked by loss and misgivings. Come hearts that are staying protected, wondering if this place will be safe. Here all are welcome. No excuses are needed, nor explanations. Bring your whole heart and let it be touched by the living God. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online or in the nursery, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for The Link, our email newsletter, and get all sorts of information about life at FCC Natick, as well as the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way has meaning for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care, and Sunday school after the word for all ages. Of course, I love the playground in part because it's often the most lively part of the sanctuary on a Sunday morning, but there is lots of liveliness coming up in this space in the week ahead. Can you believe what we have coming up? This Thursday, Walnut Hill is having a choir concert right here. Walnut Hill is going to be bringing more than 70 young singers to fill this space with music at 7 p.m. This concert is free, all are welcome. And these young people really need the experience of singing to an audience with variety. So they would love to have you here. Thursday, 7 o'clock, Walnut Hill concert. And then the very next night, we have a chamber concert here at 7:30, a favorite tradition at FCC Natick. So one night choir, next night chamber, and the next night, Saturday, not night, day, 2 p.m., dinosaurs are going to sing. Well, maybe they're not going to sing, but Dino Man is going to be here with blow up dinosaurs that I'm told are fun, not scary. So 2 o'clock. Is Sharon in the room in front of me right now? She might be downstairs, but there are some more tickets available, so you can see Sharon if you'd like a ticket for that. This morning, we are welcoming my colleague, Fran Graveson, as our preacher. Fran is the Migrant Project Coordinator for Worcester Area Mission Society. She also is one of the interim pastors at Edwards, and she's doing a service there today called Seeds of Peace at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a time to breathe. So, folks, 5 o'clock today at Edwards, time to breathe. But she's here today because she's talking about some of her experience as the Migrant Project Coordinator for Worcester Area Mission Society. Oh my gosh, the mouth is not working today. But Fran's mouth is working, so that's all that matters. Fran's leadership here this morning is so timely. The Natick Select Board are going to be discussing a policy to protect Natick's immigrants this week. For more information, including how to share your thoughts with the Select Board, let me know. I can send you a whole bunch of information about the meeting happening this week. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit. Deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning. My name is Sarah Beth. Please join me in a call to worship, and your response will be, all are welcome here. Break down the barriers, the walls, the fences. All are welcome here. Every nationality, language, status, all are welcome here. Refugee, asylum seeker, immigrant, humanitarian parolee, all are welcome here, because this is God's house. All are welcome here. Amen. Our opening hymn today is diverse in culture, nation, and race. Please stand if you are able and join in. Our centering prayer begins with a bit of silence. In the quiet, maybe think about the time that you were a newcomer, the stranger in an unfamiliar place. Let's bring that awareness with us into this time and this place. Let us pray. God of love and compassion, may we always recognize your spirit in the refugee, family, seeking safety from violence, in the migrant worker bringing food to our tables, in the asylum seekers fleeing protection, in the unaccompanied child traveling in a dangerous world. Open our hearts to embrace those who feel lost and afraid. Open our minds to see connection rather than division. Open our hands, knowing there is enough for all. Help us to follow the one who showed us a welcome that can change the world, the one who taught us to pray, saying, O love that is so clear and present in the life of Jesus and his relationship with the oppressed. Holy is your manifestation. May your love spread so that we may one day see what creation was created to be. May you sustain us as we work for justice and help us remember that the struggle is long and the costs are often high. May you inspire us to be patient as we encounter resistance, and remind us of the holiness of all people. May you help us continue to raise up the voices of the oppressed, for often strong opposition from powerful. For you will continue to overcome time and time again until one day all people will realize your power and you will have to overcome no more. Amen. In a tent in Gaza, a mother has no food for her baby. In Uganda, a man is hiding because he is gay. In the Sonoran Desert, someone has drained their last water jug. Around the world, there are people desperate for peace, the peace of shelter, safety, food, acceptance. That need for peace can feel so overwhelming, but we can start here, now, by sharing the peace with one another and extending that peace to all the world. And then we will sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you. In this morning's scripture passage, Jesus is advising guests at a dinner party. Now, he's already shamed them for taking the best seats in the house, but now he's going to criticize the guest list itself. Now, note that Jesus is not up on the person first language we generally prefer to use these days. So hear these words from the 14th chapter of Luke, verses 12 through 24. Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Now, one of the guests, on hearing this, said to Jesus, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." And then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. Now, at the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to just make excuses. The first said to him, 'Well, I've bought a piece of land and I must go see it. Please, please accept my regrets.' And the other said, 'Well, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please excuse my regrets.' And another said, 'Well, I've just been married and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Now, then the owner of the house became very angry and he said to his slave, 'Get out at once to the streets and the lanes and the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, and the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Well, go out to the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in and so that my house will be filled. May we make sure everyone is invited to God's feast of justice and peace.' Amen."
Isn't Sarah Beth a great lay reader? Don't you want to just hear her tell every scripture story all the time? She's so awesome. Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. So, Thanksgiving is coming, right? Yesterday, my wonderful husband Paul went grocery shopping for Thanksgiving dinner. I haven't had a chance to unpack the bag yet. I was thinking we would do it together. What kinds of things should we look for in here for a Thanksgiving dinner? Cranberry sauce. What else? Ned? Bread? My favorite, especially if it's those Hawaiian rolls. Love those Hawaiian rolls. What else? Potatoes. Turkey. One more. Stuffing, right? Okay. With sausage or without sausage? All who say without? Yeah, okay, that's what I knew I liked you. All right. That all sounds delicious to me. Should we see what he got? Should we see how he did? Okay. Okay. Sauerkraut? I knew Sarah Lynn. Look, Sarah Lynn is super excited that there will be sauerkraut with the turkey. So, yeah, some people would like sauerkraut. Okay. Diced green chilies. Forget the sausage. Paul wants spicy stuffing. All right, that could be okay. Okay. I love refried beans, but for Thanksgiving, that's not on the menu, Paul. Pickled ginger? Why are we having, this is not what we usually eat for Thanksgiving at all. But now that I think of it, we have neighbors from Haiti and India and China, and maybe they do have foods like these on their Thanksgiving table, and I bet it's delicious, right? Yes. You know, one of our traditions at FCC Natick is a Thanksgiving in-gathering to benefit the Natick Service Council. The NSC has a long history of providing folks in Natick with the ingredients of a Thanksgiving dinner. And so in past years, we have gathered in cans of cranberry sauce and bags of stuffing and pounds of potatoes, and it has been such a joy to bless such bounty. But the NSC has realized that those donations weren't really serving our neighbors' needs. We have such beautiful diversity in Natick, people of all different cultures and traditions. For some families, the Thanksgiving menu will be vegetarian. There's not gonna be turkey to be found anywhere. Some are gonna have polenta rather than potatoes, biryani instead of stuffing. And we want all families, especially those that are struggling financially, to gather around a table that's covered with the foods that bring them joy and comfort, not food someone else has decided is right for the day. Amen? Yeah, amen. So rather than decide our neighbor's Thanksgiving menu for them, Natick Service Council will give them gift cards to purchase the ingredients that they need. Today, during the morning offering, we're taking a special collection to help the Service Council buy those gift cards. For those in person, you've already seen the special offering envelopes in your pews. Folks are also welcome to write a check or use our online giving portal. Just put Thanksgiving in the memo line. Again, we're going to do that during the offering. But you know, Sarah Lynn and I were a little bummed when we heard we couldn't do the usual big Thanksgiving in-gathering. We love the image of the kids bringing in the food and blessing it all together, right? We all love that image. But we reminded each other that the important thing is that people be fed body and soul, not that we get to like have some particular kind of joy in our in-gathering. And we can always find other ways to gather and bless food. So, do some of you have non-perishable food with you for the Common Good food pantry across the street? We invited people to bring some today. Okay, good, we do have some people out there. Our young people, would you like to go out into the congregation and collect those foods now? This is your chance to run around in the sanctuary. If you have food, raise your hand, and our kids are gonna run around. I don't understand why they don't want to run. I would love to run around. There we go. And then bring it all up here. We're going to put it in the basket. Look, we got bags of stuff, huge bags coming up here. Look at that fabulous Noah. Go ahead, put them in the basket. Excellent. Bring it all up. Look at this food coming up. This is awesome. Funny how heavy these foods are. It's great how heavy. Ned, thank you for helping. All right, good job, everybody. And then I'm gonna need everybody to help me bless all of the gifts that we have brought forward. So if you could get your blessing hands ready, get those blessing hands ready to go. Not just soup and pasta and peanut butter, but courage and stamina and strength. Not just tomato sauce and rice and granola bars, but comfort and support and peace. Not just toothpaste and soap and shampoo, but our hearts, our hopes, our love. Living God, bless these gifts, so ordinary, so basic, for people who are hungry, hungry for nourishment and belonging. May this food be a sign we remember them. May this food be a promise of our work for justice. May this food be symbols of your presence with us all. Amen. Sarah Lynn, do you want to leave the food here or take it with you? We're going to leave the food here while our kids go off. Have a wonderful day in Sunday school. Thank you.
you. Good morning. As Cindy mentioned, my name is Fran Graveson, and it's a big, long title that I change a lot, but I'm a Migrant Project Coordinator for Worcester Area Mission Society. And I'm so happy that you guys have invited me here to speak today. I've worked with a lot of you in the Metro West area, and as Cindy noted also, I am currently consulting assistant minister or associate minister at Edwards Church in the light of Cindy, Karen Nell Smith retiring in September. Are there any audiobook people here this morning? Like to listen to your books? Yeah. In the last couple of years, my wife has actually started listening to audiobooks from the library on her phone. She has a long commute. This means that when I catch a ride with her or we're driving on vacation, I get thrown randomly into a novel somewhere. Yeah, and I get to listen to a few chapters, and then I never get to hear the end of the story. So on vacation this summer, I was thrown into The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna, and I really saw it as a God moment for me. It's the story of a family living in the French countryside during the German occupation in World War II. It's estimated that as many as 10 million people ran, packed up some belongings, or maybe not, just ran ahead of the German invasion. Men, women, children abandoned their homes, moved by car, bicycle, or foot south to get away from the German tanks, airplanes, and troops. Many of those caravans were indiscriminately attacked and bombed as they fled. 10 million people. That's about a quarter of France's population displaced in their own country. Talk about overwhelming. There's a scene in the book that depicts how overwhelming it was from the perspective of the main character, Vianne, a middle-class teacher and mother holding her family together as her husband is at war. So let's just listen a bit to her experience. Vianne approached her front gate. Before she reached it, a trio of women appeared as if sculpted out of the shadows. They stood clumped together in the road just behind her gate. An old woman dressed in rags held the others close to her. A young woman with a babe in arms, and a teenage girl who held an empty birdcage in one hand and a shovel in the other. Each looked glassy-eyed and feverish. The young mother was clearly trembling. Their eyes were filled with defeat. The old woman held out dirty, empty hands and said, "Can you spare some water?" Vianne opened the gate. "Of course. Would you like to come in? Sit down, perhaps?" The old woman shook her head. "We're ahead of them. There's nothing for those in the back." Vianne didn't know what the woman meant, but it didn't matter. She could see that the women were suffering from exhaustion and hunger. Just a moment. She went into the house and packed them some bread, raw carrots, and a small bit of cheese. All that she had to spare. She filled a wine bottle with water and returned, offering them the provisions. "It's not much," she said. "It's more than we've had since Tours," the young woman said in a toneless voice. The young mother made a moaning sound and tightened her hold on the baby. "Go inside," the old woman said to Vianne. "Lock your doors." But the ragged trio backed away. And then Vianne saw the mass of black shapes moving across the field and coming up the road. As they neared, the miasma of black separated and peeled into forms. She saw people walking, limping, coming toward her. Some were pushing bicycles or prams or dragging wagons. Dogs barked, babies cried. There was coughing and throat clearing and whining. They came forward relentlessly, moving closer, pushing one another aside, their voices rising. Vianne couldn't help so many. She rushed into her house and locked the door behind her. Inside, she went from room to room, locking doors and closing shutters. The house began to shake just a little. The windows rattled, the shutters thumped against the stone exterior. Dust ran down from the exposed timbers of her ceiling. There were dozens of people in her yard, mostly women and children. What if the doors don't hold? Vianne sat down beside her daughter, took her in her arms. She was so afraid that her voice had completely gone. All she could think was an endless, beginningless prayer. Please, please. She pulled her daughter closer and said, "Go to sleep, Sophie. I am here." Editorial note. Later in the book, you find that one of those people who are banging on her doors is actually her sister coming from Paris. This scene struck my heart. Vianne's emotions seem so familiar, so contemporary. The initial compassionate response to strangers, and then the absolute fear that their needs would overtake her comfortable life, her ability to keep her family safe. We hear a similar emotional struggle in our political and social conversations about immigration. We want to help. We want to heal suffering. And we fear that the need is more than our country can provide without destabilizing our own systems and infrastructure. Our instinct of scarcity kicks in when we feel overwhelmed. Our survival mode takes control. In our scriptures today, the Gospel of Luke focuses on banquets, those familiar symbols of abundance. As Jesus sits at a banquet, he challenges the host that perhaps the table should have been expanded. Jesus notes that generosity is not defined by actions that will be repaid. And the man sitting next to him reacts. I imagine his reaction to Jesus's challenge to be similar to the reaction from Vianne in the novel, a feeling of being overwhelmed. Did Jesus just say that God wants all of the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind to recline at this table? How could we possibly do that? Did Jesus just ridicule and call for the end of our quid pro quo system? You scratch my back and I scratch yours? The system in which the Roman Empire was built? What is this guy saying? And of course, this is a polite occasion. This is a banquet. It's probably in his finest whatever, right? So this guest isn't gonna just let his emotions show. I imagine this poor guy just didn't even know what to say. So he basically falls back on the let's just leave all that kind of stuff to God approach. And you hear him say to the stranger next to him, Jesus, Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Yeah, let's just leave all that to God. Jesus smiles. I throw the smile part in. He knows he's got him, right? He tells a story about a banquet that is going to occur no matter who accepts the invitation. Let me repeat that. He tells a story of a banquet that's going to occur no matter who accepts the invitation. Jesus is not going to let this man dismiss his challenge simply because it makes him uncomfortable. Jesus does not let this man dismiss the challenge simply because it overwhelms the host. Jesus knows that the table is big enough. The wine can continue to flow. Jesus knows that the fear of scarcity is a finite fear that sits in that room of powerful people. It is not what defines God, nor does it define what is possible when we accept the invitation and work with God as the body, as the church. This is the amazing thing about God's banquet of abundance. The abundance at the banquet is not the food and the wine. Jesus is explaining to his dining companion that the abundance is created by the guests, those who accept the invitation. The abundance is the experience of joining the most amazing banquet of neighbors, opening one's heart to the whole of this world, to the whole of this creation. Experiencing all of the individuals who make up this thing we call humanity. That is the banquet. And that experience includes being there for each other during suffering, during problems, during crisis. It is not that God has given some of us the ability to save our neighbor. It is that God invites all of us to live and serve each other. We are not always able to meet all of the needs, but we can always commit to walking together. This is our challenge. Our challenge is to overcome our initial fear of the masses that have no name, and to join the walk with someone in the crowd so that we can see our neighbor, the neighbor who does not need to be feared, the neighbor who is actually inviting us to the banquet. There is a sense when we read a story to identify with the main character, to feel the fear of the host, wanting to truly be righteous and do as Jesus says, and yet not seeing the possibilities. The good news, our good news, is that we are not the host of the banquet. We are the guests. We simply need to accept the invitation. The invitation is to love God and love our neighbor. It's not the same type of invitation that we are accustomed to receiving. And it is how God invites us to be transformed, to belong, to be beloved community. In our world today, 1.5% of the world's population is displaced. When we look at the images on TV, when we see our shelters full, when we worry about the cost of helping, the numbers seem great. And then we take a step back and see. 1.5% of us are displaced and suffering. Those displaced today come from rich and diverse lives and have hope and faith that their lives will settle into security again someday. Per UN stats, the country that is hosting the most refugees in the world today is Turkey. Yes, Turkey. There are 3.8 million refugees in Turkey. There are 1.8 million in Colombia. There are 1.5 million in Pakistan. There are 1.5 million in Uganda. There are 1.3 million in Germany. Neighbors helping during the crisis. How does our world respond when countries go into crisis? I think that is the community, the societal question in front of us today. Over the last 40 years, the US has averaged hosting just under 80,000 refugees a year. It's more complicated than that because we are also the nation that accepts the most asylum seekers. And recently, it's been as high as 500,000, ranging between 250,000 and 500,000 in applications a year. In 1952, we created the Humanitarian Parole Executive Authority that you guys talked about in your liturgy today. The president has this method to host people in the United States temporarily when their country is in chaos. So right now, we have parole approved for Ukraine, Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. This program provides temporary residency and work permits in the US. And it does help us to more align with those countries that I just talked about in the number of people that we are hosting. And it is the program that brought a lot of people here to Central Massachusetts. It is our community hosting those in crisis. As a nation, we often talk in general about immigration. However, it is helpful to distinguish between our immigration policy and our response to neighbors in crisis. Our immigration policy through employment, visas, and family unification has the limitation that no country can make up more than 7% of the visas each year. So it's not how we can help a specific neighboring country that's in crisis. It is our refugee hosting, our asylum approvals, and our humanitarian parole authority that help neighbors during wars, government takeovers, catastrophic natural events. Helping our neighbors in crisis. I'm not a politician. I don't have answers. But I do question why we have limited our refugee program and directed people in crisis to processes that require them to apply for asylum in a very chaotic way. National immigration policy is not what I normally talk about at churches. And yet it seems important in this moment to consider that overwhelming feeling that occurs when a neighbor is in crisis and what Jesus was teaching about being at God's banquet together. That all have a seat and a purpose at the banquet. Here in the communities of Natick and Framingham and Sherburn and Needham, I probably missed one because you all keep expanding and getting bigger and doing amazing work. I want to recognize that walking with a neighbor who is in crisis, who is trying to put their life back together, who is working their way through systems that are overwhelmed and honestly set up within a framework of scarcity, this work is difficult. There is and always will be a sense of being overwhelmed. And there is beautiful transformation. There is friendship. There is love, peace, and community. There is God in this work. We at Worcester Area Mission Society are so grateful for the ability to walk with all of you in this transformational work. It is work that must be done in community. So I have a little story for you. Years ago, when Hurricane Maria clobbered Puerto Rico, U.S. citizens from the island came to the Worcester area in crisis. I always like to remind people, U.S. citizens from Puerto Rico. The city agencies, state politicians, the nonprofits, the churches, the shelters, the food banks, the schools, the medical facilities were all feeling strained and wanting to help the new arrivals. They began meeting together, organized by the United Way and the Christian Community Church, Sarai Rivera, who also was a city councilor. This group found community so important that they have stayed together. To this day, they meet every other Thursday on Zoom. They have worked through a pandemic together. They've worked through tragedies in the city. They've worked on big systemic issues. They are named Worcester Together. And because of their community focus, they were able to create the Office of New Americans through the shelter system Friendly House. And we at Worcester Area Mission Society are so grateful for that, because that allowed me to get my work started on the run. Like, I just had to connect in with this group and with Jillian, who is the director of the Office of New Americans, and we were off and running so quickly with the churches to help. So I'm telling you about Worcester Together because it is my advice. The more we are able to work broadly together and have crisis response infrastructure, the more we can accomplish in this work. Starting from scratch, each time there is a crisis, is frustrating and expensive. I have provided some information. I'm gonna say goodbye to people at the other side over here, greet you over here. And I have some information over on that side, which are some different partners, some you know, some you don't know, and also some opportunities to volunteer. And I know that your own Caring Coalition has already begun these important relationships across your communities. I know they are connecting with people, they can connect people with opportunities to help. You are all building our neighborhood of doers, joining the banquet. And we at WAMS are happy to be seated next to you. Can we walk in this world with some of us on the move? Can 98.5% of us help the 1.5%? Can we learn from each other, love each other in the midst of chaos and suffering? We pray for the day when displacement is a thing of the past, when people do not need to run from violence and war. And I do wonder if helping each other during crisis moves us closer to that day. Who better lead the world to God's kingdom of peace than those who have seen the horrors of war? What better way do we learn the gifts and strengths of our global neighbors than to work through difficult times together? Can we in communities of abundance learn that we need everyone in order to live the life God wants for us? We need to walk with each other in order to be what God wants us to be. We are all invited to the same banquet. Amen. Thank you.
As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Kirsten is lifting up the joy of Fran Graveson, and I can imagine that for Kirsten, like, it was probably quite vindicating in some ways to hear somebody describe so much of what you have experienced, both in the frustration and in the grace of the way you keep inviting people to the table, Kirsten. So thank you for that. Other joys this morning. Gail, do you have any joys up there? Did I miss one over here? It is so nice to have Amy's mom here. Always a joy to see the two of you together. Jeffrey. Oh my good Lord, that doesn't seem okay. I mean, it's great. Jeffrey, Jeff and Robin's daughter, Jenna, turned 18 yesterday. Wow. You must be older than I thought. Randall.
Dee's down visiting her mother and helping her pack to move into independent living this upcoming week. And it sounds like they have a big task ahead of them based on the description of the house.
So then we're holding Dee in prayer and her mom. Dee's mom is moving, and it's a good move. But the packing is a lot, so we hold Dee Dee and her mom in our prayers during this time of transition. Thanks, Randall. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Natasha? So we are sending love to Declan this morning. He may be watching from the hospital. Declan is 6 years old, and this past Friday he had surgery to remove the bump on his neck. He was under anesthesia for 11 hours. They were able to get the whole bump. So we are so glad for that. There is more to come, so prayers for healing, comfort, and continued guidance for doctors. So Declan, if you're watching, we love you. We are sending you our prayers, and we are so glad for how hard you worked and how well you did on Friday. Other concerns that folks have, Amy? Yeah, so we're holding Amy's, it's your sister-in-law.
It's my sister-in-law.
Your sister-in-law and her husband. And his name's Steve? Steve. So Steve, very young, ended up with just one medical issue after another. And so his wife is dealing with end-of-life issues. And this has been long now, too. And so just the exhaustion and stress of the last few months. And also prayers for Amy. As someone with a medical background, Amy is wearing those two hats, being both a family member and someone who can translate the medical system. So prayers for all of you in the midst of this. Thanks. Other concerns? Yeah, Pam. Ah. So 96. So Pam's Aunt Barbara, 96 years old, died yesterday. We mourn this death but celebrate a life well lived and the fact that family was all around her when she died. Thanks, Pam. Gail, do you have concerns up there? All right. And we do hold in our hearts all of those today who have had to flee their homes. Having to flee their homes because of danger, and then often in the very places they try to seek safety, they find more danger. Our prayer this morning is based on words by Stephen Schick. Let us pray. Spirit of our longing and lonely hearts, help us travel through the barren borderlands that separate us from others. Teach us to willingly explore relationships with those who frighten or threaten us. Grant us the courage to risk confidently our own comforts that we might make others more comfortable. And when we are burdened by the isolating choices we have made, grant us the wisdom to invite a stranger to travel with us. Open our hearts to our new companion's needs and desires until we can relax our defensiveness and become a calming presence. As we travel, grant us the vision to notice how each step we take together moves us toward the promised land, where all souls grow in hope and the resilience of love. Amen. In 2023, before I got here, for what it's worth, Worcester Area Mission Society invited churches in the region to gather and brainstorm what they saw as the biggest concerns in their communities and what resources they might have to address those needs. I imagine lots of things came out of those meetings, but I know of two. WAMS heard that churches were trying to figure out how to support migrants arriving in their communities. The need was constantly changing, and the questions were huge. So WAMS made the commitment to hire a staff person to help churches learn about and respond to that crisis. Fran Graveson accepted that position, and she has had tremendous impact. One result from that meeting. Secondly, folks at FCC Natick were inspired to bring together local religious communities for a similar conversation, and the Caring Coalition was born. Houses of worship in the area are now collaborating to support new Americans, learning how to amplify our impact, and forming stronger bonds across our congregations. The very thing Fran was talking about, the infrastructure we need to create so we are ready when the crisis hits. If you'd like to check out a Caring Coalition meeting or just help our new neighbors with a ride to a doctor's appointment, please see me or Kirsten or Lane. There are others involved as well, but I'm just picking on the three of us right now. And even if you don't ever come to a Caring Coalition meeting, you are still part of this work. It is because of your generosity that we got the emails that told us about the WAMS gathering. It's because of your generosity that we had a space to host the Caring Coalition meetings. It's because of your generosity that these connections were made and this critical work is happening. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, I invite you to hold our new neighbors in your mind and heart and hear their thanks and ours. God of abundance, bless these gifts, and especially those who will be invited to the feast because of this generosity. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 520, Restless Weaver.
Feel comfortable to sit down. Woo.
As we end our service this morning, our week of service begins. God blesses you. God invites you to the banquet. Live each day surrounded by all that God has created. Take in God's love and join the banquet with a smile, a helpful hand, a graceful interaction. Go out and love the heck out of this world. Amen.